least it's not raining. Couple quick announcements, if I can find them. A reminder of next Sunday, Pastor Tonneson will be here to deliver the message. We will have our congregational meeting as soon as it's over. After that, we'll have a catered meal down in the fellowship hall. After we eat, Pastor Tonneson will start the call process. He will go over a bunch of information for us. Hopefully we can get this thing moving forward. Fellowship committee will meet on the 19th, I believe that's Wednesday, at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Next Sunday morning at 9:30, we've got handbell practice. Sounded good this morning. Shrove Tuesday, pancake supper on the 25th. Ash Wednesday service, let me back up, pancake supper from 6 to 7:30. Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, obviously, at 7 p.m. And our Litton meals will start on March the 4th. So if your committee group wants to do one of the meals, please contact Latifa at the church office and she'll get you on that. We also have a Maundy Thursday service coming up, Good Friday, and an Easter sunrise service. And I believe we'll have breakfast after that. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation? Agape Friends tomorrow night? 6:30 at the office complex. Poinsettias. We still have 3 poinsettias from Christmas that if you purchase, somebody didn't pick them up. Please, 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 I cannot stress enough. Please, if they're yours, take them, because if not, they'll end up at my house. Okay? She, for some reason, this is the only lady I know that can keep poinsettias growing for 7, 8, 10 years at a time. So, please, please take your poinsettia if it's yours. Do we have any other announcements? We have a prayer shawl. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Herbie. Cemetery committee, committee meeting right after church. 10 minutes or less. Plenty of time to get the race in. All right.
So this prayer shawl is for the sister of Stephen Everhart, not our Stephen Everhart. She does Summer teach at Davis Townsend. Yeah, and so this prayer shawl is for Summer, if y'all will bless this.
I have a card here. It says, Dear Holly Grove Lutheran Church, I want to sincerely thank you for your support. I am so thankful to be here at Lenore Ryan University. I have found my second family. Sincerely, Lauren Miller, Elementary Education. Once again, we want to welcome Pastor Talent back. We got birthdays, Mr. Chip. We got John Michael Fritz, Raven Hilton, Etta Lee Conrad, Latifa Hedrick Rose Dennis, Taylor Gabrielle, and some guy named Andy. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
To invite the kids to come down.
Come on. Good morning.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all?
Good.
Come on in, have a seat. Now, how many of you have ever said or done something to somebody else, maybe a brother, a sister, or a cousin, that wasn't really that nice? If I ask that question out there, every hand would be raised too, right? Because we're human. We do that. We make mistakes. We get upset with people and different things. So if we have to write down everything that we do that's not necessarily good for us to do to others, that we would have to say I'm sorry for, this board would be full, along with thousands of others that we would have in here, right? So in our lesson today, what Jesus says is basically that we should make amends. If we've done something wrong to somebody else, we should go to them, we should apologize, and make things straight. Because if we don't, then that's what our heart looks like. It's all cluttered. We've got all of these things in there. However, if we go to somebody and we say, I'm sorry, and we apologize, we get to wipe something off of there. So if each of you get to wipe something off of there, let's see what happens to that board. So what in the world's happening to that board down there? So what's happening? All right. So let's look at our board now. What do you see?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's clean. Yeah, there's some dots on there, but that's fine. But it's clean. So if we apologize and we make things right to each other, what once was full and was sort of cluttered up, maybe dirty at that point, God erases everything there. And he forgives us. All right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for cleaning our slate. Help us to continue to go to each other and make things right. In your heavenly name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
The first reading is a reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks. The psalm for today is Psalm 119 and will be read responsively by whole verse. Happy are those whose way is the blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart.
Who do no wrong, but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be very diligent.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances.
I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
The second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go, first to be reconciled to brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that if anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. I did, do any of you ever wish it was the old days when people got along better? Everybody seemed nicer and kinder. I was reading an article this week about an incident that was reported in a newspaper. Seems there was a woman in a house coat running down the road, wearing one shoe, screaming, "Thief! Thief!" In one hand she had a rolling pin, the other she had an iron poker for a fireplace. And in front of her, breathing heavily, was a middle-aged man, also wearing one boot, holding his hat in one hand, his coat in the other, running as fast as he could. Then things got interesting because his pants fell down. And he tried to pick him up to cover himself up, and the woman caught him, started beating him on the head with an iron rod. People around broke him up and separated him, and about that time the police arrived and carried them both off. When they got to court, it turned out it was Mr. and Mrs. That was in 1927. So the old days are not always better, and the newspaper that reports bad news is not just in the modern world. But I find those old stories interesting. But there is an old story that's mentioned in your bulletin this week that next week you will have an opportunity to contribute to help with mission congregations in North Carolina. A number of years ago, probably 15 or more, there was a project the Senate had which was called 2020. And they asked congregations to donate, members of congregations to donate $20 twice a year to aid with mission development for new mission congregations. That went on for 2 or 3 years, I guess, and they did collect a good bit of money and were able to work and help mission congregations. Well, apparently someone in cleaning out the Senate office found 35,000 of those envelopes from all those years ago. And they have now asked congregations, they've sent them out, and they've asked congregations to take up a special offering to help with mission congregations. There are now 6 missions in the Synod. You can go online and find out about them. And it's a one-time offering, and we will collect it next Sunday if you would like to contribute to that. And as they point out, any amount they get would be a blessing, because even if everybody gave a dollar, they would still have a considerable sum of money to help these congregations. So if you feel so moved and are interested, please remember that for next Sunday, and we will be taking up that special offering. Do any of you like radishes? Interestingly enough, the name, like many of our words, comes from Latin, and this particular name comes from a Latin word, radix, which just means root. Other words come from that same root. The word radical is one of the other words that comes from radix. And if you were to say that to the average person, Jesus was radical, I would guess that that's not the first thing that would come to their mind. If you think about radical act, you probably wouldn't think of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a thing that has the Beatitudes, which are gentle and peaceful. We read the Lord's Prayer. It's simple and reassuring. There's a passage there about the birds of the air and lilies of the field and so on. Radicals, we think of things like throwing Molotov cocktails at police or sit-ins and carrying placards. That's certainly not what we read in Matthew. But one of the things about this word radical and radix as I learned long, long, long ago when I was studying church Latin in seminary, is that because of this sense of being a root at the core of things, the actual meaning of radical is, originally, was that someone wanted to return to something, the basic way things were, the root of whatever it was, whether you're talking about political system or family relations or whatever. And you wanted to get to this root or this origin. Now today in our politics, we tend to have two groups that we see as radicals. One want to return to the way things were, say, in the 1950s. The other group wants to turn everything upside down and have a whole new system and change the whole world. And we call both of those radicals. And in a sense, they're both fit that definition because they're both wanting to turn everything around from the very root of the way things are. If you visit, and I have not had the opportunity, some of you may have, visited the 9/11 Museum in New York where the Twin Towers stood. And I understand that when you go there, to actually get to the museum, you have to go way down underground. Into what's called, I guess, the bathtub when you talk about buildings like that. And it has these powerful and strong ties in the concrete to protect it from the river and all the forces that deep underground. Not something anybody ever really saw probably until after the collapse of those towers, and that was essentially all that was left of them after everything was cleaned out. And that has now become the museum, but that was like the root of those big buildings. If you look at Matthew 5, Jesus is radical because he wants to go back to the root of the law. He wants people to understand the root of the law. People have gotten focused on this or that particular aspect of it and lose sight of the deeper meaning of what God offered in the Ten Commandments. You haven't slept with your wife, with another man's wife? Good for you. But if you looked at somebody and thought about it, do not commit adultery applies to your life as far as God is concerned. You haven't stabbed anybody or shoved them off a cliff? Good for you. But when you got angry at somebody last week and told them to go take a flying leap, you broke that do not murder command cleanly in two. You haven't sworn out a false oath in God's name? Good for you. When you knowingly lied to your boss about what you did while attending a convention, then in God's eyes, do not give false witness was broken. Jesus is changing the law. Is Jesus changing the law into something new and different? No, he is radicalizing it, going back to the roots. Now, certainly, if you manifest these behaviors, whether murder or adultery or swearing falsely in court, committing perjury, there are social and cultural consequences that are severe. You may not experience those if you do the things Jesus talks about. But in our relationship with God and our relationship with people, it undermines that relationship. The purpose of God's law was not to restrict what people did. It was to help people learn to live together in peace and harmony in their life. We are created in God's image. How we treat one another in any aspect of our life is how we treat God. Because we're all created in his image. That's why Jesus talked about don't even swear by the hairs of your head. God created your head. God created your hairs. You can't change the color, he said. Now, of course, nowadays we know that you can't easily change your color. There's a whole section of the drugstore of hair color that they try to sell you. But the point is, we can't change who we are in God. And therefore, we're all in God's image, and how we treat one another is how we treat God. We're not to use other people as pawns or scorn them or brutalize them or mistreat them, because doing so is to do it to God. It's not enough that it doesn't show up in our outside behavior. Hypocrisy is everything it's cracked up to be, and in the long run, even affects the hypocrite. Dante's punishment in hell for hypocrites was this, some of you may remember. They would be dressed in these resplendent gold gowns, shiny and beautiful. But those gowns were lined with lead. And every step they took, they were carrying and dragging this massive weight around with them. The idea was that when we live that way, we are constantly affected by this great burden because we know who we are, we know ourselves, and we know what we're like. I read this week about a playground somewhere, and this particular playground was like a lot of playgrounds. There was a sign saying, "No children under such and such an age without a parent or other adult helping them." There was a fence around the playground. Inside the fence, there were benches for adults they could sit on. But those benches were actually inside a second fence. The second fence was about 5 feet tall, as opposed to a short fence, and it had a latch that could only be opened by adults. The idea being that you couldn't even get in there unless an adult let you in. Now, I suspect they did it for insurance reasons, I don't know. But the idea that there are two walls, and in a sense, what Jesus is doing is creating a second fence to protect us from getting into the place where we'll be in trouble, where we violate the letter of the law, by saying, don't focus on the letter of the law, focus on the relationship and how you act toward other people and how you act and treat those around you. Because that's the point of the Ten Commandments. Too often we get caught up in all the specific details and lose sight of what God's intent is. And Jesus wants to remind us of that. It's not enough, he says, to avoid murder. We have to treat each other with respect. Not letting ourselves fly off the handle in anger, because that also demeans and diminishes God's children. Martin Luther said much the same thing in his explanation of the Ten Commandments. Not bearing false witness for Luther isn't simply avoiding lying. It's also putting the best construction on what our neighbor says, and in this way tending the relationships that constitute and bound our Christian life. There is certainly a legal dimension of the law, and too often we want to focus on that. But if that's our only focus, then before you know it, the only resort is to count, accuse, litigate, and punish. And you end up, as Jesus says, cutting off hands or plucking out eyes. And Gandhi would say, in the world of an eye for an eye, everyone is blind, because all have committed offenses. And Scripture tells us all fall short of the glory of God. The intent of the Ten Commandments is not to give us a moral checklist, but to teach us how to live with one another. To confess that our relationships matter to God is to distinguish between our God and all those other gods you read about in history. Those gods were some distant being that had no interest in this life, or they were gods that looked at human beings as playthings to be manipulated and used. Nor even is God one who directs karma that we punished in some indirect way for what we do. Our God is a God of relationships who cares for us and who cares, therefore, how we treat each other, because it's how we treat God. To confess that our relationships matter to God is to reinterpret the law. Jesus doesn't just heighten the force of the law, he broadens it. It's not enough to refrain from murder. We should treat each other with respect and not speak hateful words It's not enough to avoid physically committing adultery. We should not objectify other people, seeing them as a way to satisfy our needs. It's not enough to follow the letter of the law regarding divorce. We should not treat people as disposable and should make sure that the most vulnerable in that culture, in that time, in particular, women and children, are provided for. But that's also true in our culture. It's not enough to keep ourselves from swearing falsely or lying. We should speak truthfully and act truthfully in all our dealings so that we don't need to make oaths at all. Jesus has already been introduced to us as God with us, the King of the Jews, the Son of David, and so on. Now introduces another reign, the kingdom of heaven. The audience gets a glimpse, the audience of the Sermon on the Mount gets a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Over and over he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you, don't worry about the list of the rules. Worry about God's intention in giving the rules." They can challenge us. They can threaten us if we let them. They can make us anxious or confused. But they are meant for our good. Refuse to harbor anger. Honor oaths you make, whether in marriage or to your neighbors. Desire justice so that you will not impose wrongs on others. Love your enemies. Pray to God for your enemies. What we do is only part of the problem. The rest of the problem is what we are inside. In many respects, Jesus' teaching could be seen as scandalous, but they were meant to restore relationships. And his teachings on that day were particularly for his community. He wanted to create a new community among his followers where they treated one another differently from the world and acted differently from the world. The one reference he talks about in terms of indebtedness and throwing someone into prison or being thrown into prison came straight from the way that Roman and Greek law worked. Debtors were thrown into prison and clearly had no hope of ever paying their debt off because they were in prison and could not earn money. Jesus is challenging the world they lived in and saying, we need to be different from that world. We need to live in a different way. We need to live as God calls us to live. A world in which women are not property owned by the husband, but creatures in God's image. Where the enemy is not simply some abstract, but a creature in God's image. Where we are taught to live in such a way that God's love is revealed in the world. Not to use people, but to share God's grace and love with them. All of this is to say that you matter to God. Just as those he seeks to reconcile you with, you also matter to God. How you live matters to God. How you are in relationship matters to God. Don't make your faith harder for you and others by bare minimums. Reconcile with one another. Honor one another. Speak truthfully to one another. Protect one another. Do these things not to earn God's blessings, but because you are already blessed by God. Be reconciled to one another for your sake and for God's sake. The psalmist writes, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless." We aren't perfect. We will never be perfect in this life. We may never get beyond the milk that Paul talked about to solid food. But we are forgiven. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior came for us and offered himself for us. God gives us the grace and the Spirit to live as he called us to live, to follow his commandments, to be obedient to his word. We do this with the guidance and support of the Spirit. God makes us righteous, not by our perfection. He makes us perfect, not by our good deeds. He leads us through Christ to a life of salvation. The deeper we love God, the more we will love our neighbors. When we truly love our neighbors, we will never abandon them, but invite them to experience the grace of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Trusting that God hears us, let us pray that the light of Christ may shine upon the church, the world, and all people according to their needs. Loving God, you want us to look, act, and be like Jesus. Thank you for promising us that in our baptism we are joined to him. By your Spirit, grant that all that Jesus has done for us is made manifest in us to your glory and for the benefit of your people. Build your one holy church into a temple filled with your Spirit, with Christ as the cornerstone. Give it faithful pastors, bishops, theologians, teachers, and other leaders. Help them plant and water the seed of faith to which you alone give growth. Make your church faithfully witness to the world the way of life. Lord, in your mercy. Shepherding God, lead our congregation into an ever closer relationship with you, that we might better know your commands, hold fast to your decrees, and live in your law. Cause us to end quarrels, angry words, and hurt feelings, and cultivate in us a spirit of service. Unite us in a common purpose, planting and tending the seed of faith in one another, in our children and grandchildren, and in our friends, neighbors, and community. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, Jesus spoke hard words about anger, adultery, and divorce. Help us to take them to heart. Bring your forgiveness and healing to those wounded by hurtful deeds and words. Give each of us wisdom and grace to comfort, challenge, and encourage loved ones who strive to remain faithful, who struggle to repent of offenses they have caused, and who wrestle with how to forgive those who have betrayed their trust. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God of peace, set before the rulers of the nations the path of life and death. Give them the desire and the strength to choose life for themselves and for the people in their care. Bring an end to violence, war, discrimination, and all other forms of deadly hate. We pray especially for our President Donald, our Governor Roy, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Conform each of us to your will so that we may rightfully and peacefully live together as your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, you provide bountifully for all people. We lift before you the needs of everyone who is afflicted by poverty, injustice, suffering, sin, sorrow, or sickness, especially Burnett, Gary, Bill, Walter, Aldine, Scott, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Karen, Steve, Janine, Tina, Randy Rose, Noah, James, Lore, Judy, Robert, Buddy, Gary, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, David, Clyde, Pauline, the Pless family, our servicemen and women all over the world, those affected by and fighting this new coronavirus, those unemployed and looking for work. To deliver them from evil, grant them refreshment, hope, and healing, and restore them to fellowship with all who love them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, keep in your tender care all those who have gone before us to their eternal home, especially those whose loss we grieve most deeply. Give us grace to comfort one another, to abound in gentleness, forbearance, self-control, faithfulness, and compassion until our journey too ends and we are called to join the company of the saints. Lord, in your mercy, confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we entrust all these things and whatever else you see that we need into your care for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Together and saying our mission statement, which can be found in your bulletin. As united people in Christ,
under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.